From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Who Has the Majority? The text, 2 Kings, chapter 6, verse 16. And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Horses and chariots and a great host shut up the prophet in Dothan. His young servant was alarmed. How could they escape from such a body of armed men? But the prophet had eyes which his servant had not. And he could see a greater host with far superior weapons guarding him from all harm. Horses of fire are mightier than horses of flesh, and chariots of fire are far preferable to chariots of iron. Even so is it at this hour. The adversaries of truth are many, influential, learned, and crafty, and truth fares ill at their hands. And yet the man of God has no cause for trepidation. Agencies, seen and unseen, of the most potent kind, are on the side of righteousness. God has armies in ambush which will reveal themselves in the hour of need. The forces which are on the side of the good and the true far outweigh the powers of evil. Therefore, let us keep our spirits up, and walk with the gait of men who possess a cheering secret, which has lifted them above all fear. We are on the winning side. The battle may be sharp, but we know how it will end. Faith, having God with her, is in a clear majority. They that be with us are more than they that be with them.
My love for you is everlasting.
One of the most precious gifts God has given to mankind is the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. For those in the English-speaking world, the ability to own a copy of God's Word is taken for granted. Indeed, many of us possess multiple copies of the Bible. Yet, this was not always the case. There was a time when attempts to translate the Bible into the language of the common people were met with persecution and even death. Men like John Wycliffe and William Tyndale were hunted like outlaws simply because they labored to give God's Word to people in the language they could understand. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available a booklet that briefly traces the history of those efforts, entitled How We Got Our English Bible. This short publication tells the story of the development of the authorized version of the Scriptures as we know it, including the enormous impact of the invention of printing upon the spreading of God's Word. Published by the Trinitarian Bible Society, this booklet is free to all who request it. Simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of How We Got Our English Bible, and we'll be happy to provide it. Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the Epistle to Romans. He's dealing with chapter 3, verses 21 through 26. Many of the problems experienced by believers arise from a failure to understand what the gospel is all about. Often, those who profess Christ find themselves laboring under feelings of guilt about past sins, or failing to experience assurance of salvation that they know they should. As Dr. Cairns is seeking to show from this text, there is more to salvation than mere pardon or reciting the sinner's prayer. What God requires is a sinner's measuring up to the standard of his righteousness, something no human being can do for himself. But God has provided that righteousness in Christ. This is at the heart of the doctrine of justification by faith, in which God declares a guilty sinner to be righteous in his sight on the basis of Christ's sacrifice on the cross. Now Dr. Cairns will bring the conclusion of this message called Righteousness Without Works.
You're not saved by some sort of cooperative effort between you and God. If you're to be saved, you're saved by grace alone, by Christ alone, by the merits of His righteousness alone. And people will immediately say, does this mean that Christians have no obligation to keep God's law? Do they have no obligation to do good works? To ask that question is to answer it. Certainly Christians have an obligation to keep the will and law of God. But the answer really is this. They don't do these things in order to be justified. They do them because they are justified. It's a world of difference. If you're doing in order to be justified, you'll live a life of frustration and you'll die the death of the ungodly. But if you're doing because you are freely justified by His grace, you have the key to liberty and life and victory and holiness. Here then is the theme of the gospel revelation. Quickly let me point out the latter part of the text. The testimony to this gospel revelation, it's witnessed by the law and the prophets. Now Paul has already mentioned this in chapter 1 and verse 2 when he speaks of the gospel which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. So he's already mentioned it. He will deal with this aspect very fully in chapter 4 when he starts with the example of Abraham and then moves on to David and then comes back to Abraham. And he will expound those examples very fully, showing that the Old Testament witness is exactly the same as what he is witnessing here. You see, we need to make this very clear in our minds. That the Bible knows only one way of salvation. Many of you have been brought up in the Scofield Bible. Now there are some wonderful features in the Scofield Bible. I think it's the best laid out study Bible that has ever been laid out. Some of its notes are very helpful. Its prophetic scheme is just about as far off base as you can get. Unfortunately, it popularized the crazy notion that there are seven different gospels for seven different periods or eras in time, different dispensations. It popularized the notion that in the Old Testament, people were saved by their own keeping of the law. And indeed, when the church has been raptured and left the world for 7 years, which of course is again Hans Andersen fairy tale, it's never going to happen. But when that takes place, then the Jews will be back to preaching a gospel of works and of works righteousness. And the great question then is, if people needed personal obedience to the law to merit salvation in the Old Testament, if they could get right with God that way in the Old Testament, and they can get right with God that way sometime in the future, why can't sinners get right with God this way today? Why did Jesus Christ go through the horrors of the cross? If at the end of the day the Unitarians are right and God can save sinners by their own efforts. The truth is, and the law itself makes this clear, that in the Old Testament people could not be saved by their own righteousness. When Paul spoke of the way of salvation that he preached, he said in Acts 26:22 that he obtained help from God to continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, and saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Paul says what I'm preaching is what Moses preached. And perverts the gospel to make it a gospel of works righteousness in the Old Testament. Do you ever ask yourself why the Lord, first of all, gave 10 commandments, moral law, and then he added to it what to modern readers seems a very tedious recitation of multitudes of sacrificial laws? Have you ever tried reading through the book of Leviticus? Have you ever seen those 5 major offerings and then all the other subsidiary offerings? When you read through the book of Leviticus, it's a book that's awash in blood. Do you ever ask yourself, why did God do this? The answer is very simple. The moral law condemns. God gave the Levitical or the ceremonial law to point forward to the sacrifice of Christ as the answer to that condemnation, to the redemption that he had in Christ Jesus. And in the Old Testament, all things were dealt with on the ground of blood. Sin could only be purged by shed blood. So much so that Paul says, without shedding of blood is no remission. And that's his summation of the entire Old Testament economy. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission. You see, this doctrine of righteousness apart from our personal obedience, based on the obedience of another, is the doctrine of the whole Bible. As I say, we'll see that much more clearly as it is worked out by Paul in the 4th chapter. Here, in this part, he is simply laying down the groundwork. Remember this, as Peter said, in the household of Cornelius, to him, that is to Christ, give all the prophets witness. The whole Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi, points to Christ. The righteousness of Christ. The obedience of Christ. God's one and only way of salvation. You know, when you think of that, that adds a powerful solemnity to the words of the Lord Jesus himself. In Luke 16, in what some take to be an actual story and others take to be a parable, of the rich man who died and went to hell, and he saw the poor man who had sat at his gate full of sores in Abraham's bosom. And the rich man was crying to Abraham to send someone to his brethren still on earth to warn them of the horrors of hell, to get right with God while there was time. And Abraham said, these are the words that Christ himself put in his mouth, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Think of what that's saying. In the context, if people will not hear the witness of Moses and the prophets, there is no way known to God to save them from hell. As we leave God's house tonight, I want you to take that with you. I pray God will write it in letters of blazing fire on your heart. If you hear not with the hearing of faith the single, undivided testimony of the entire Scriptures, that the only way of salvation is in and through and because of the righteous merits of Jesus Christ, which can and will be made over to your account solely by faith and without any meritorious action on your part. If you will not hear that message, then listen carefully. Once again, there is no way known to God to save you from eternal hell. He has provided perfect righteousness to free you from the guilt of sin, to free you from the condemnation of sin, to place in your hand the title deed to heaven itself, to give you the passport to glory, the legal right of entry to be where Jesus is. That's what God provides in the righteousness revealed in the gospel. Let me ask you, do you know anything about that? Have you ever honestly been brought to the end of your rotten self-righteousness and self-reliance? Have you ever been brought to the place of acknowledgement, I am a foul, filthy, guilty sinner, and every effort I make to save myself sinks me but deeper in the condemnation of a holy God? I'm lost. I'm undone. I'm within a gasp of hell, and rightly so. But now, God has revealed to me, and I have received that revelation by believing faith, by a simple yet complete commitment of my soul to the merits of Christ. I have received that revelation of the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. That's the way of life. That's the way to be justified. If you've never been justified, you stand in urgent need. You'll find justification when you find Christ, for He is our righteousness. Come, and welcome to Christ. Call on Him, O thou righteous one, be my righteousness, my justification, so that I will have a perfect acceptance with God, constituted righteous at His judgment bar, only because of Christ's righteousness imputed to me and received by faith alone.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.